Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, I don't know what your experience has been in this thing called the church, but we need to just be reminded as we begin our gathering here today that we're part of something special. In Matthew 16, Jesus made a statement to Peter, who just confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. You have not come up with this. God has revealed that to you. I'm going to build my church upon that truth, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And if you look at the history of the redemption of God's church, we are a part of that sort of golden thread of redemption, that from the launching of the churches in the early parts of the scriptures all the way through now to today, we're a part of that redemptive history. And what we're seeing and saw in that video and experiencing even here together as a community is that God is still at work. He is still, by the grace of God, through the power of the gospel, changing lives. Some of you have a story, maybe like those in the video, where God got a hold of you, and God's still at work, and we get the privilege of being a part of that redemptive history. So welcome to The Well. So glad you're here. To those, of course, joining us in person and those online or over at our Fig Garden campus, welcome to a little bit of a different gathering. We're going to spend a little bit of time here today just sort of going over a few things. Next week, getting into our new series, we'll be in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John all the way through to Easter. But what we realized was this. As we look around the room, there are a lot of familiar faces and a lot of families that we have seen here for a long, long time. But there's also a lot of you that are kind of new to The Well. And much like in the fall, we did a State of the Church where we sort of talked through the vision of our church and where we're heading. We wanted to, here on this anniversary of what we call Cultivate, take an opportunity and invite you into experiencing what God has been doing here over the last number of years, specifically as it relates to the next steps that we feel called to be a part of as a church. And so just going to take a couple of minutes and walk through some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. And really, the goal would be twofold. One, some of you have been around for a while. We just want to be reminded, hey, remember, this is who we are. Remember, this is where we're heading. Remember, this is what we're about. And I see some heads nodding, and I appreciate that sense of that reminder of, yeah, this is what God is calling us to be. But then to the others, we want to inform you of what's happening and invite you to be a part of that with us, because this is a very, very special season. For those of you who are around from the very beginning of Cultivate in 2018, you recall that we endeavored to do something groundbreaking, absolutely unbelievable. We wanted to raise some money and inject it into gospel-centered initiatives in our city. We wanted to renovate the kids' building at our Fig Garden campus. And then we had the audacity to say that we were going to move from 5 acres to 53 acres here at this campus. And so we raised quite a bit of money. We, in a very grassroots effort, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice, participated, and that we're now literally living in that reality of the generosity that was stirred back in 2018. And candidly, as we started Cultivate back in 18, I said out loud, I would have never wanted to do a capital campaign. I had no desire to do anything like that. And yet, honestly, it was one of the healthiest things we've ever done, because it awakened something in us that we saw the kingdom of God being established in our city. We saw the opportunities to participate. And if you look around the room right now, and by the way, our first gathering was packed and midweek was pretty crowded, and we're going to do another one at 11:30 and another one here tonight. And by the way, we're over at Fig with two gatherings over there. We had more people at our Christmas gatherings than we've had in the history of this church by about 1,500 people. It's amazing to see what God is doing. And that, in large part, is taking place because God is faithful and because we've made room for people to participate. Well, we finished that Cultivate effort, and we knew we needed to take another step. If you ask in most churches, what are the three drivers that sort of determine what type of facility you need? And by the way, that's the order. You don't build a facility hoping they'll come. You see what God is doing, and you respond to the growth. Focus on health. Allow for growth. There's typically three drivers. You're looking at parking spaces, you're looking at seats in the sanctuary, and you're looking at kids' spaces. I mean, it's really not rocket science. And so you need to make sure that you've got ample places to park, places to sit, places to put a kid, okay? Well, what we realized is that there's actually two additional drivers that you need to think about as your church begins to grow. Now, this is the biggest church we've ever been a part of, so we're kind of figuring out with you as we go. But I thought, okay, what does that look like? Well, there's two other drivers. One is adult classroom spaces, because we found as midweek ministries get more successful, meaning regen grows, re-engage grows, life group launch grows, they need more kid space, but we use those kid spaces for adult classroom spaces. So we knew we were gonna run into an issue there. And the second was kid space, specifically as it relates to students, middle school and high school students. I don't know if you have middle school or high school kids, but there's a need for space that's just different. So they can, you know, spray Axe body spray and break stuff and do whatever, right? But just space for them to be kids, right? And we realized we didn't have that. Even in this facility, we didn't have that. Our middle schoolers will meet at the 11:30 hour over in the pantry. I want to say it was below 40 degrees last week when they met over there. Now, they're middle schoolers. They can endure just about anything. However, I think it would be fair to say we're ready to take another step. And so we launched Cultivate a New Season. And what Cultivate was for us that we launched here 2 years ago is we wanted to inject some resources into First Fruits again. We wanted to renovate our Fig Sanctuary, and we wanted to build a student center. I want to talk just if we can for a little bit about First Fruits, because this was different. When we did the initial Cultivate in 2018, what we were doing is injecting resources into gospel-centered initiatives all over the city, which was great. We were helping combat human trafficking. We were helping deal with food insecurity. We were helping deal with homelessness, mental health, wonderful ministries in our community that were doing great things. But this year, this Cultivate, what we decided to do was be a little bit more laser-focused. And so we said the first $500,000 that comes in, let's find a way to partner with a gospel partner that can really move the needle on some of the issues in our city. Now, here's the thing you need to know about Fresno. For those of you who might be new to Fresno, if that applies to anybody, it's the best kept secret in California. I love Fresno. I love the Fresno Clovis area. This is my city. I hope it's yours too. It has tremendous needs. We have the highest population of condensed poverty in the country right here in Fresno. We have a food desert in Fresno, in southwest Fresno. There's one grocery store. It's the most overpriced food for less you're going to find in the valley. And we have major issues as it relates to drugs and gangs and violence. You read the news. You know what I'm talking about. So we started looking around and saying, well, who's out there really doing it in our city? Like, who's really dealing with those issues? Because as you look at our city, there's all kinds of wonderful partners in our city, by the way. Fresno is unique in that most churches here in Fresno actually get along together. I just got a call from the new pastor at Bethany Church. I'm speaking at something at their place here this coming week. We do a men's breakfast here. I think this last month we had, 15 different churches represented at our men's breakfast. There's a real collaboration of a recognition that we're all on the same team, serving the same king. We're just in different places. We may be wearing different jerseys, but we all are submitting to Christ. And so praise God for that. But we also have here in Fresno wonderful ministries that are dealing with some of these primary issues in our community. And the one that we found was kind of tip of the spear was the Fresno Mission. And what the Fresno Mission has decided to do, and this is pretty fascinating, is take the primary hub of ministry that has been forever down off of G Street and to move it into the center of the city. And they have purchased a facility on Dakota in between Blackstone and the freeway called City Center. Now, what they're gonna do with City Center is create the best in our city for the most vulnerable in our city. They are creating a hub of, you name some of the top ministries dealing with issues in our community, and they're now under one roof, which is fascinating because now you've created wraparound services for a family or an individual that might be in need. So you come to the mission because you might have an issue with recovery. You can walk through a recovery ministry there. They can help you get some employment. They can help you deal with food insecurity issues. They can help you deal with mental health issues, all of it under one roof. And as we heard the vision of City Center, we were like, wow, that's fantastic. But there was something we felt was missing. And what was missing is something we thought we might be able to help with. Now, We can't deal with combating human trafficking like the organizations out there. We can't deal with orphan care like the organizations out there, but we're a church. And so we said, well, what would it look like to have a church in City Center? And what would it look like then to take that beautiful facility, plant a church there, and have a gospel-centered initiative happening there? And so I thought we'd take a moment here this morning and have a conversation with the lead pastor of City Church. Would you give it up for Pastor Mark Snee? So for those of you who might not know, what we did is we said, okay, instead of distributing resources out, what if we took the first $500,000 that came in with Cultivate, and what if we launched Mark out to plant a church called City Church? And what if we had a gospel sort of heartbeat in the midst of City Center, pastored by this guy, rallying people, many from our church, to go minister to the most vulnerable? So question to you, Mark. So you're on staff, you were on staff with us, you were in our PM gathering as kind of pastor in the rowdies there, we meet at night, and you heard about this concept of City Center, you've heard about the idea of City Church. What happened in your life, what happened in your heart that you were like, I think I need to go do that?
Yeah, I remember it was April of 2021. We were invited to take a tour of the campus at City Center, and as is typical with me, I'm showing up almost late, but almost right on time. And I'm getting off the freeway, but I get a text message from my wife that said that our two youngest at the time, we adopted them out of foster care, and their biological mother, she said, just passed away. And so I'm trying to process that awful news. Been building a relationship with her and everything else. And then I show up to City Center and I'm hearing from Matt Dildine, who's given us the tour, this heart and vision for helping the most vulnerable in our city by all these different means. And it was the contrast of the depths of just sorrow and sadness of this news, but yet the heights of this incredible heart and vision that really felt like this is kingdom of God type stuff. This vision is massive. And at one point, Chris Schultz looks at me and is like, Mark, one of the reasons why we're taking you guys on this tour is to see if God's stirring in any of you. And he couldn't have said anything more triggering to just let the waterworks flow, because I was just overwhelmed. I didn't know how to process it. But that started a conversation, and yeah, get to do what I get to do.
So when we heard of this idea of City Church, you know, immediately you kind of look at your own team, you're like, who would be the guy? And we're like, I think Mark's the guy. I don't know if Mark knows that he's the guy. I don't know if Mark thinks he's the guy. I don't know if God thinks Mark's the guy. We think he might be the guy. So sure enough, I remember when you went on that tour, Chris let me know. He's like, I think Mark might actually be the guy. And I could not be more delighted. So you've launched out now, and this isn't concept, right? This isn't like, Hey, later we're gonna do something. This is like, no, you're doing it. Tell us what is happening right now with City Church.
Yeah, I mean, we're just starting by showing up. I know Sam Freshwater, a former pastor here, used to tell people all the time, just show up, watch what God does. And so we've been telling our team, let's just show up. And so whether it's helping out with the needs of kids or you know, just gathering, we've been starting to gather last semester a couple times a month. Now we're starting to gather every week, Sunday nights at 6, just in anticipation of what's to come. There's gonna be 72 units built for families that are struggling with housing insecurities at the end of this semester, early summer. And right now we're working with 21 families that are coming up from G Street being bussed up. And so there's plenty of opportunities, plenty of needs, and we're just showing up saying, God, would you use us? And we're being used by him to do a number of things. There's the obvious things of kids' ministry needs and whatnot, but like throwing a wedding for a couple and throwing it at a high level, being one of the people that just gets to see a team of people that are gifted and passionate about loving their neighbors well, and they're just showing up and doing it. I mean, just seeing couples down in this hard time in their life where they're facing crisis, feel this radical dignity that's offered to them in the name of Christ. There's nothing like it.
That's right. So. Well, if you think about that, Sunday nights, they're gathering, which means you have an opportunity to come and to serve. And the beauty of City Church is that Mark is not on staff at the Well. Mark is on staff as the lead guy at City Church. Now, we're helping support City Church, and a lot of the people that are there are from The Well, and a lot of people that are getting involved are from The Well. But what we're trying to create is the type of ministry that other churches would want to come partner with the work that's happening at City Church. It's not simply ministering to the people that are in Family Center, right? It's also ministering to those apartment complexes that are surrounding that. I haven't asked you this question, but give us just a snapshot. What are some of the things going down in that neighborhood? I don't know if any of you have driven down Blackstone and Dakota at night, but it's a different experience, right? There's some needs there. What's happening there?
So I think actually the picture on the top left shows a cool display of a Christmas Eve candlelit worship gathering in the park right there in this area of our city that's very hit with trafficking, whether it's human trafficking, drug trafficking, gang violence, all these different things that just develop this hopelessness and despair. Yeah. And as we show up, it's like, hey, we're servants of Jesus. Let's talk about him. God's doing work and it's beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Well, we wanted you to hear from Mark. If you're interested in being a part of what's happening, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can email me, msnee@citychurchfresno.org. Love to start the conversation. I would love to give you a tour. There's quite a few of us that work at Fresno Mission that also come here. And so whether it's Desmond Camacho, Matt Dildine, Megan Brown, there's a number of us that would just love to give you a tour. Come and see for yourself and see if God might stir in you something to serve. Thanks.
Amen. Thanks, buddy. Give this guy a hand, will you?
Yes.
Well, we also wanted to just catch you up to speed on what's happening at our Fig Garden campus. Some of you may not even know, we're a multi-site church. We do 8 gatherings a week at 2 campuses in 2 different languages, including at 11 over at our Fig Garden campus, The Well in Espanol. We've got a lot going on, but our Fig Garden campus has a pretty rich history, and I just wanted to catch you up to speed on a little bit of that. So that property used to be owned by the Cross Church. Now, the Cross Church was a German Lutheran church. They had 100 years of history. Some of the best Baroques in town could be bought there. Lots of history and heritage. And they were gracious enough to rent that place to us in 2002. So The Well actually launched at that property. We rented that facility now for 7 years, from 2002 on to 2009. And in 2009, they came to us and said, hey, look, we see what God is doing. Can we just kind of join forces and do this together? And they were gracious to set aside almost 100 years of history, hand us the keys, merge together, which was such a gift, and allow us then to make that our Fig Garden campus. That building, though, or the buildings there, it's on 7 acres. They were built in the early 1960s. Wonderful facilities, but just in need of an upgrade. So in the first Cultivate, we did the kids renovations, picked up about 7,000 feet of kids space for the growing kids ministry over there. And then this last Cultivate, we focused on the sanctuary. So what we decided to do is say, okay, we want to keep the charm of this facility because it is beautiful. I mean, we're talking pews, stained glass, stone. It is absolutely gorgeous, one of the premier wedding and funeral venues in the city, which means we have an opportunity to walk with people in their highest of highs and their lowest of lows and to just be Christ for them. And then it's home for 2 gatherings, 9 and 11 on Sunday mornings, that are over at our Fig Garden campus, home to about 1,000 people who attend The Well. And so really, really thankful for that opportunity to then modernize that sanctuary. It's predominantly a videoed venue. So most of what they hear is what we record from this campus. This is technically a broadcast campus, which is a fancy way of saying the monkey teaches at this place. And then we record it and send it over there. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing to expand that ministry over in our Fig Garden campus. But I want to talk about the third and what is remaining, the portion of Cultivate, because the launch of City Church is done. The renovation of the Fig Sanctuary is done. Here's what remains as we head into this new student center. We realized as we were talking about those 2 additional drivers of adult classroom space and student space that we needed to make a little bit of room. And so we decided what we would do is we would build a third building on this campus. Just to give you a little idea, we're a multiple use facility type of church. We don't have anything that's like only this ministry uses it. For example, Monday nights, Regeneration meets in this auditorium, typically about 250 people coming. They need about 15 small group spaces. On Tuesday, though, WSM Middle School meets here. A year ago, they had about 130 coming. Now there's over 200 coming. And then Reengage also meets on Tuesday nights, which is about 85 couples and about 15 small groups. On Wednesdays, our high school ministry takes over this place. Last year at this time, there's about 125 high schoolers coming. Now there's approximately 250. And then we launch life groups on this campus on Wednesday as well, just under 200 people coming for that. And then on Thursdays, Women's Bible Study meets here. Claritas Homeschool meets here. And then we also have our Thursday night midweek gathering that meets here. So there's a lot going on. Turning this place over and over in terms of chairs setting up and tearing down. This is what we're building. Hopefully that looks familiar to you. Obviously the sanctuary, the auditorium there at the top, that's the You Are Here button. And then the bottom right is gonna be that student center that is under construction even now. Looks a little more like this. The top of the little L-shaped building is the coffee house portion. The bottom portion is going to be the student auditorium. But there's gonna be other things that are associated with this building. There's gonna be outdoor gathering spaces, like an outdoor theater. There was one positive that we got from our time at COVID when we met outside for gatherings, and that is some people really preferred to meet outside. They kind of liked it. Bring your lawn chair, wagon in all your blankets, and enjoy the gathering outside. We're gonna have about 1,000 seat outdoor theater that you can just bring your blanket and enjoy it outside if you'd like. We're gonna have a half court basketball court out there. We're gonna have grass out there with balls out there that you can play with. There's gonna be life group breakout spaces that are out there. Beautiful coffee house, gonna be a 5,000 square foot coffee house, and it's gonna look like this. We've shown you some things before, and we said, oh, it's gonna look something like this, and then we had to change it because of budget constraints. This is what we're building. It's gonna look like this. There's a view from the street. This is a view from the entrance. This is a view from the courtyard. So you can know, you can see the big screen that we're gonna have, the big theater space, view from the courtyard as well. And one of the things that we decided to do is we decided to do a coffee house. Now, I wanna just explain this a little bit because some of you have been around long enough to have heard me very passionately say we are not gonna do a coffee house. And be careful what you speak passionately about because you may change your view on that. Because years ago, you know, you could go into a coffee house, a local coffee house, and it was a wonderful place with leather chairs and it was super comfy and maybe a fireplace and a ceramic mug and there was community happening. In fact, they touted that they were the third place. If you weren't at home or at work or at school, you were at that coffee house. And I thought that was pretty awesome. And so it's like, no, go be the church. Like, go hang out in the coffee houses. But what we're finding is we are living in 2024 in a much more bifurcated, much more isolated, much more transactional-based world. It's not relationships anymore. You can go into those same coffee houses and there's no leather chairs. And there's no ceramic mugs, right? And it's to-go orders, mobile orders and drive-throughs, and we've lost the place of connection. Now, thankfully, there are some coffee houses in town, Cup of Joy being one of them, that are doing a great job. And so the last thing we wanted to do was compete with them and hurt local business. So we asked if they would partner with us. So we are going to be proudly serving Cup of Joy's coffee as a way of supporting local business. Yeah. As a way of supporting local business and yet creating what is missing in many of the coffee house environments, and that's a place of connection. And it's not just a place of connection in the coffee house, it's a place of connection for our church. So now you wanna have a business meeting, you can come to the coffee house. You wanna meet a neighbor, you can come to the coffee house. You're going on a walk with your kids on a Saturday, you can come to the coffee house. You're gonna meet with your life group, you can come to the coffee house. You're gonna come meet with one of our pastoral staff, you can meet them at the coffee house. And what the coffee house is gonna provide for us is a place of connection. Comfortable chairs, wonderful tasting coffee, great service, clean restrooms, and the type of place that you really want to come and be a part of. And it's going to look like this. So it is gonna be absolutely beautiful. It will be a premier, you know, gathering place in our city. And I'm fairly confident our middle school and high schoolers will completely destroy it on Tuesday and Wednesday night. There's a passage of scripture that says, where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of the ox. Which simply means if you wanna have the benefit of an ox, you're gonna have to muck the barn. And here's what we know. If you wanna reach middle schoolers and high schoolers, We're probably going to have to fix stuff, clean stuff. They may break stuff. Then let's fix it, clean it. No problem. Because if that means that we're going to reach middle schooler and high school students, it's worth every penny. And so we think for the students, this is going to be a great place for them. It's got a little game room attached to it with foosball and ping pong and that kind of thing. It's going to be a place for them to meet with their life groups. And we think this is going to be the new third place. I think that third place concept is brilliant. And if they're not going to use it, then why shouldn't we? And so if you're not at home or at work or school, we hope you're here at the coffee house enjoying community together. Because everything that is going to happen here is going to scream, stick around, stay a while, get to know each other a little bit. Why? Well, Psalm 71, you've heard this now for many, many years. Oh God, you have taught us from our youth and we still declare your wondrous deeds, that even when we are old and gray, oh God, do not forsake us until we declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Simply put, we want to reach students. We want to reach high school students. We want to reach middle school students. We want to reach kids. And we want to create a place that they want to come and are proud to come and enjoy. And so that's what we're about here at The Well. And that's what Cultivate is really trying to help us accomplish. We had two goals when we sort of started. We wanted to strengthen this generation and we wanted to reach the next. Because even to those of you that are of a more seasoned vintage, we're in this together. And we need you, just like me, to continue to grow and mature in Christ so that we can reach those kids. Let's strengthen this and reach the next. Now, when we launched Cultivate here 2 years ago, and today is actually the anniversary of the final year, so we're 12 months away. When we launched it 2 years ago, the First Fruits renovation and student center total was $16.5 million, which is a ton of money. And we asked you to pray and to give as you feel led, and $10 million was committed, which is incredibly generous. But over the last 2 years, something very unique has happened. And that is, there's a number of you who said, I'm not filling out your commitment thing, but I'm gonna give because I believe in what's happening. And so there's been an additional $3 million given on top of the $10 million, which means our total gap at this point is $3 million. Now, we as a church are prepared to take on $3 million additional in debt, and we're okay with that. We're not afraid of debt. We're in a position based on God's faithfulness and your generosity. We can handle that debt without hindering ministry whatsoever. But we wonder, would it be possible in the next 12 months to close the gap? There are three ways that we think we might be able to accomplish that. And maybe one of these three ways applies to you. One, some of you have committed a 3-year commitment and you're not quite done yet. That's where my family is. Would you be willing to just pray and faithfully fulfill your commitment? Because if we come in at 100% of our commitments, that would be fantastic. And so if that's you, would you just pray about just let's finish the race? We got 12 more months. We're almost there. Let's finish the race. Let's commit or fulfill rather the commitment that we've made. That would be awesome. The second group though, some of you made a commitment and already fulfilled it. Would you be open to maybe just before the Lord saying, okay, Lord, over the next 12 months, is there anything that you want me to do? Now here at The Well, we don't operate in drive-by guiltings. That's not what we do. And so we want to invite you. Hey, if you feel led to be a part of it, great. If you don't, bring your Bible next week. We'll be in 1 John in a new series. But we want to invite you. We feel like we would be cheating you if we didn't share with you what's going on and invite you to participate if you felt led to. And so if you fulfilled your commitment, but you say, you know what, over the next 12 months, I think we could do something else. In your seat backs are those tithe or those Cultivate envelopes. And if that's you, I would love for you to hear over the next couple of weeks, pray about it. Write what you could do over the next 12 months, and then just drop those envelopes into the tithe boxes. What that will allow us to do is to know, okay, there's an additional X amount that are coming in from people who've already fulfilled their commitments. But the third group of people are those of you who are guests with us, and you've never even heard of Cultivate. It's so hard for me to think that some people haven't even heard about it because I'm so close to it. But at the midweek gathering, I had a gal come up after. She goes, hey, thanks for taking the time to walk through all this. I had no idea about any of this. I'm new to the church. I didn't even know what Cultivate was. And that, I think, applies to a lot of you. The numbers show that we've grown pretty significantly over the last couple of months. And with that, some of you have never even participated with Cultivate because you didn't even know about it. Well, if you'd be interested in participating, if you'd grab one of those Cultivate envelopes, take it home, pray about it for a couple of weeks. See what the Lord lays on your heart. We're invited to give because God stirs us to give and he loves a cheerful giver. You may pray about it and say no, or you may pray about it and say yes. And if that's the case, if you'd be willing to write onto that envelope what you could give over the next 12 months and let us know again, it would just allow us to know budget-wise. And the goal would be, we're just trying to close that gap. The fourth thing I might say would be this, and all of us can do this, would you pray with us? See, we know that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We know that God resources what he calls. We know when we started this thing back in 2018 that God does exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or imagine. So let's pray as a body that God would provide. Let's pray as a body we'd stay faithful to the gospel, faithful to what he's called us to, faithful as we pray about what it means for us to give, and let's see what the Lord does. And I'm curious to see if that $3 million gap over the next 12 months just magically begins to disappear because of God's faithfulness and the generosity of those in whose hearts he stirs. As I close out, I just want to remind you of something. You know, some of you have been around for a long time, but we here at The Well have had a purpose from the very beginning of helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. That's what we're about. And we're not going to change that. We're not going to drift from that. We want to stay true to the gospel and true to the proclamation of Christ. We're going to continue to teach the word, continue to proclaim the gospel and invite people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And it just so happens that what we've realized is facilities are not an end in and of themselves. They're a means to the end. They allow us to do what God is calling us to do. And as a church, we wanted to make sure everybody was up to speed, both those who've been around for a while and those who might be new here with us. So thank you for being here today. It is a special day because we're going to get to do some things here after this gathering that are kind of fun, but I'll save that for Kevin. Let me pray for us and we'll be done. God, I'm grateful for the privilege to be a part of your church. And thank you that you've used insignificant people to do incredible things. God, we have nothing to boast about but you. And yet we're a part of the redemptive history in our great city that is so wonderful and rich, with churches all over our community that are doing incredible things for you, and we get to be a part of that, and we are thankful. So Lord, help us to continue to steward well the gift of this church and to continue to welcome people into the family of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.